And this is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Really excited to get the chance to speak with the pair of guys from the Roxanne administration team. Of course, the proposal for high school football making waves around the state from the school. We're speaking with Athletic Director Mark Briggs and Assistant Principal Adam Miller. And basically, in the simplest terms here, the proposal will change the way football is scheduled in the state if adopted to what they're calling a flex regional scheduling system, and also expand the playoff field from 256 qualifiers to 384. So there's a lot to dive into here, but Mark Briggs, Adam Miller, really appreciate the audience, and thank you so much for joining us. I think maybe the best way for us to start is to give you the chance to explain, you know, in your words, what this proposal is really aiming for.
Ty, thanks for having us on. We appreciate the opportunity to kind of discuss, which we feel like is one of the biggest proposals that are on the docket, obviously, for this year, maybe in years past. So we spent the last 4 months trying to come up with a proposal that was built around what membership, based off of feedback that we've received up to this point, what they would want the proposal to look like. We started surveying schools sometime in June. We started with just basic surveys regarding week zero to find out how important that was to football coaches, because we kind of started with football coaches with week zero to get a feel, because that was going to shape how we approached our proposal. We then decided to reach out to a gentleman that knows football as well as anyone, that's played a little bit of the hand, Steve Soucy, with a former proposal that was brought forth with districts, that he wrote an article and displayed what the district model would look like if that was to be voted into membership. And we felt like there were some problems with that proposal because it was groupings of eight. It had an extremely rigid classification tool that was applied that didn't give schools any flexibility to be, you know, a 1A school, maybe playing some 2A. So we asked, you know, Steve, like, give us the reasons why this proposal will not work. What are some of the flaws and how can we address that? And that's what we started. That was our starting point, is we looked at the former proposals that have been brought forth to membership involving districts. And then we started to base our proposal today off of those flaws and try to fix and answer any questions that previously existed. So then we started surveying schools, you know, at a pretty decent clip lately. You know, we started with an 8-week proposal with expanded playoffs. We wanted to see what member schools thought about 8 weeks, because we had it, you know, 80% of schools, if we had an 8-week season, 80% would play a 9-week schedule because of playoff expansion tied to it. So we felt like, you know, 9 weeks still, but we felt like that was a hurdle for us, insurmountable, that we couldn't clear, because most football coaches want 9 weeks in a football season. One thing that we did not want to impact was the IHSA calendar. We did not want to bounce outside of it. You know, we know that we can't go later than Thanksgiving. That's a strong tradition here in Illinois. We had met with the IHSA about the possibilities. We had surveyed that. We know where membership is with going beyond Thanksgiving. They didn't favor that. I know that in Illinois, when you start early, earlier playing football, practicing football early, especially lately, I mean, we're not taking our short sleeves. You know, I haven't had long sleeves on one time yet this football season. So, you know, earlier we start, it's hot here in Illinois. We didn't want to adjust the calendar there. We also realized when you're adjusting the calendar, you're messing with the dead period, and we wanted to avoid that. So there was all those factors in there that we'll talk about later here as we kind of get in more depth on the proposal. But that's how we came to the part we're at today, just through surveys, feedback from membership. I've formed a flex committee that consists of 12 combination of principals and athletic directors that are helping me understand the lay of the land throughout the state of Illinois and some of those pitfalls that I don't want to step in. And so we've kind of taken that holistic approach and involved a lot of people to where we're at today.
Well, I'm sure, as you know, the state of Illinois, in terms of schools, whether it be public schools, private schools, and where they're located, it's a really diverse, you know, state when you talk about the type of schools there are, type of communities there are, type of cities. You know, there's big cities like Chicago and then, you know, rural districts around the area too. So when you speak about putting something like this together, you talked about kind of a 12-person committee you've formed, and also I think that the, you know, kind of surveying you did was a good start too. So can you start by speaking about kind of the data you were able to get back from those initial surveys and how that maybe steered you to get to a proposal like this one?
Sure. Yeah. This, you know, I like to say that this is a rock standard proposal because it has our name on it, but it's not just our proposal. You know, we definitely got feedback from throughout the state, from coaches, ADs, school officials. And so that's kind of how we started. You know, Mark mentioned we really looked at this 4 months ago. And, you know, we went in with what we thought were maybe some preconceived notions about what was important and ways to address some of the problems that schools face throughout the state. But we've really used that data to kind of drive what this proposal looks like. So, you know, initially, we really felt like week zero was really important. And so when we were trying to come up with what this proposal would look like, we were trying to figure out how we could fit week zero in. But as we continued to get data, it became pretty clear that week zero was really only important to about a third of our member schools. So, you know, that was something that then drove the decision, well, let's take that out. So, you know, he had also mentioned the 8-week season versus 9. And it was really clear after some surveying that 9-week season is really important to our coaches and to our communities. You know, you only football in high school is a 12-month sport, it seems like, with the training, and you really only get those 9 weeks guaranteed to you. So no one really wanted to give away one of those weeks. And so the data supported that as well. So it's, you know, you have this 9-week season that you need to have. You can get rid of week zero based on that. And how do we work this into the health and safety guidelines? You know, that's something else that's really important is the health and safety of our student athletes. So how do we move the season so that we're able to have that acclimatization policy that we have in Illinois? How do we end at Thanksgiving? So the data really did kind of drive that through conversations with coaches and athletic directors, principals, the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee of the IHSA. So looking at that data, you know, just a couple of examples, the week zero is maybe the biggest. The need for 9 regular season games, that was very clear in the survey data. So those things definitely made it into the proposal. And then the other one that I know is, you know, I guess a hot button topic is the expanded playoffs. But in the surveys that we've done, and I think maybe the gold standard of that survey was one that was done by the IHSA last year, indicated that member schools over 50% want expanded playoffs. So, you know, now the conversation is kind of, what does expanded playoffs look like in Illinois? So at this moment, we're actually looking to get some more data from schools in terms of what they would support, what looks like an equitable, a fair, a good expansion of playoffs.
Yeah, so I think what's garnering the most conversation in this proposal is the playoff expansion portion of it. We'll talk about the scheduling in a moment, but I think that maybe is more top of mind is the playoff expansion conversation. So with that part of it, again, just to reiterate, 256 currently qualify. That would move up to 384, which takes us from 32 for each class up to 48. So for that part of the proposal, let's just start with the reasoning behind, you know, why maybe you see or why you hear from some portion of the membership why playoff expansion is something that should at least maybe be entertained, as, of course, you put this in the proposal here.
Yeah, like Adam said, when we surveyed, in addition to which he mentioned the gold standard, when we attended town halls last fall, every school is required to send a representative to town halls, and they were surveyed at each town hall throughout the state. And that's the data that we're getting back from the IHSA that was shared with me, is that 58% of schools want a playoff expansion. So when we're building a proposal, that's what's driving that piece. Today, we sent out a survey to all of the member schools, the voting IHSA representatives at each school, and we surveyed if they would rather, you know, with our proposal currently as it stands with 48, or do we want to maybe whittle that down to 40 teams per class, just to see what their thoughts are about playoff expansion, because all we can go off of is data. Like you mentioned, Illinois is a diverse state from top to bottom. You know, down here in the South, talking to coaches, we can get a feel for what they want. But in the central and northern part of the state, other than surveys and hitting town halls, which we plan to do, that's the only way that we know what expansion, what the desires are. Now, you know, obviously with playoff expansion, I think the biggest piece I think people are trying to sort through is, you know, 9-0s in the opening round games are not going to be playing, you know, 3-6 teams. In some cases, we're a 2-7 team with that type of expansion on 48 per class could get in. But there will be some games, you know, where a 3-6 or 2-7 would play a 6-3, a 5-4. There are those cases where that would happen. But we know that not, I think across the state, it might be divided. When you lose, you use the number 58%. You know, that could be just a split, just like just about everything else that we see. One piece of data that we know we feel pretty sound about is, you know, membership, when we surveyed each and every time, and we did leave status quo out as an option on a couple surveys because we tried to narrow this thing down to 8 weeks versus 9 weeks, but roughly 40% of membership is okay with status quo. 60% of membership wants something to change. And so that's what we're trying to do is find out what that something is. Monticello has submitted a proposal officially to the IHSA, and their proposal has been signed on some large school conferences throughout the state. And what they're trying to do is expand the playoffs exactly the same way that we are with a 9-week season and elimination of week zero. And their proposal basically will allow for just 9 days of practice before you play your first game. So you're going to start the season on the same day as we currently start it, eliminate week zero. You have 9 practices. We're not sure, you know, what the guidance is going to be from SMAC because currently you have to have 12 practices in before you're able to play. It's a bylaw in the IHSA that you have to have 12 practices before you can play your first game. So we're allowing for 14 practices with our adjustment to the season. You know, we're starting traditionally on that Monday. We're backing our start date up to the Wednesday prior.
You know, and I think when it comes to the expanded playoffs portion, you know, I get the point of view that you don't want teams in that have 2 wins or 3 wins. You know, and I think that's where we can debate on what is that number. You know, I definitely think from the survey results we're getting that the IHSA received that expansion is something that a majority of membership wants. But I do think there's some splits on what does expansion look like. You know, but part of that also then becomes a mathematics issue. So, you know, if you expand to, if you basically double, then it makes it a lot easier to have fewer buys. So one of the things that we've also heard is that, you know, we don't want to expand by, say, 8 per class. What that does is it creates a lot more schools not participating in the opening round, effectively getting a bye week. One of the things that we heard from coaches through survey data and also just through conversations is the idea of having a bye week is not something that is really well liked by membership. So you got to kind of balance that as you're trying to make this proposal and as people are thinking through it. What if you're okay with playoff expansion, what's the number? And am I okay with a smaller number of expansion, which would then create more first round buys? Am I okay with that as a school?
So a question I have too that I was thinking about when you talk about expanding playoffs, and I think especially when you look at some of those smaller rural schools, and we're speaking to you from, you know, upwards in Western Illinois, kind of West Central Illinois, in Mercer County, in Aledo, and around us, and I think it's kind of a thing around the state and really nationally too, where you see sometimes football numbers declining a little bit. And I think as we look forward, you're only going to see, you know, more co-ops and maybe more teams dropping from playing 11-man football to 8-man football. So if you see, you know, some of those 11-man teams' numbers start to drop a little bit, do you think maybe that could be an issue where you speak about not wanting to maybe have as many 2-7 teams potentially in the postseason? Could you see that maybe as something that could make it a little more challenging if that number of, you know, 11-man football playing teams in the state continues to drop?
Well, that's what we're trying to address through the proposal. We feel like that playoff expansion could actually grow the sport, you know, at this point. We also think that you're going to see potentially when teams are grouped by, you know, geography and enrollment, and we take those two things in consideration, and you group regionals of six, in some cases seven, and even in a very unique situation where you have a grouping of eight, because there are schools in the northwest part of the state that are really isolated. But we think that with a playoff expansion, with the regional model, they kind of go hand in hand. We think that you're going to see the exact opposite happen, you know, and that's what we're trying to do, not just address football, though. We're also trying to address, you know, conference instability that is not just football, but football drives it. I think that's the elephant in the room that a lot of us don't spend enough time talking about. You know, when every school in the state of Illinois right now is one school away from being unstable within their conference. And when they lose a school, they're all searching for the next school, which obviously, you know, is a domino effect. You've seen conferences form. You know, there's a lot of 10-team conferences, and some have formed super conferences that have divided up into two different 10-team leagues, you know. So we're seeing a lot of the instability we're trying to address. We're hopeful that if we can get our message out and we can continue to collaborate with stakeholders throughout the state, that we will start discussing how, if football was removed from the conference conversation, how other sports then can become potentially more stable, in the sense that schools aren't driving two and a half hours away on a Tuesday to go play a baseball game or a volleyball game, because football really has been the main reason to realign. We're seeing that down in our area. There are conferences locally here that have signed 10-year agreements with a financial price tag associated with it. If they get out of the conference before the end of their 10-year term, they're fined. And I think that there's more stories of what's happening here throughout the state of Illinois.
Yeah, so speaking about the scheduling portion of it, as you were talking about basically titling it a flexed regional scheduling system where, you know, again, in the simplest terms, are basically you're grouping teams geographically and enrollment-based. Similarly, you know, you try to split them up between, I think, six or seven, like you said, and in, you know, some cases, eight-team regions, and then you're able to continue to schedule the non-regional games, whether it's three or four of those, to complete the schedule. I think something that's important to note that this proposal has, that maybe, you know, some other proposals of, you know, districts, and this isn't districts, it's regionals, but kind of a similar type of, you know, idea behind it, was that in some of the previous proposals, the non-district games didn't really matter in terms of playoff qualification type stuff. Where this one, those games still would matter. Is that right? So you can kind of go over just how the scheduling would be set up in the regular season. And I think, again, like I said, important to note that all nine games, even the non-regional games, if this were to pass, would be, you know, meaningful games that are important for playoff seeding, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And I'll let Mark kind of go through that. But I just wanted to make mention of, you know, those two things are things that are different in our proposal than some previous ones that, again, were based on feedback from membership. You know, there was definitely some in previous proposals, there were some questions and, you know, some just misunderstandings and just disagreement with the idea that those games, your non-region, non-district games, wouldn't count. So, you know, that's something that we listen to, and we also firmly believe that if you only play nine games and they all need to count. So they certainly do. And then the scheduling of those non-region games is also based on feedback from membership, because, you know, there was proposals in the past where those would also be assigned from the IHSA. But we very initially in our surveying, that was something we asked, like, what kind of flexibility do schools want? Do we want to lose control of our entire schedule? Do we still want some flexibility? And it was overwhelming that schools wanted to be able to schedule those non-region games, because there are situations where, and we see those in our area, and I'm sure you do as well, where, you know, one school or two schools that have historically played one another, the enrollment of one or the other either goes up or down. And so they're not necessarily in the same classification. They might be a couple classifications away, but those two communities are still tied historically and traditionally, and they want to still play that game. And it still matters to those communities. So having that flexibility is something that membership wanted and that we feel really strongly about. And Mark can talk a little bit more about what that weekly schedule would look like.
Yeah, it's really very simple. Weeks 1, 2, and 3, and 9 will be the non-conference, non-regional weeks. And the purpose of this is try to align everybody throughout the state as they're looking for games in weeks 1, 2, 3, and 9. There are a lot of conferences that have, they're made up of 6 schools. That's kind of the traditional methodology that they use whenever they try to build their non-conference weeks. So that's kind of, that's how ours is set up. I mean, another big part too is, you know, teams that don't fit together in a region, you know, that are rivals that have strong traditions. I mean, that's the purpose of self-scheduling too. I think there are some other ways that you can do the scheduling piece, but like Adam said, membership wants to have control over some of their schedule, and in a lot of cases, all their schedule, and we respect that. We understand what that looks like, and that's why when we talk about scheduling, and it's not just for us to put in the proposal to look pretty when you talk about having a safeguard or a committee that's before the IHSA, but I think that when you have a committee such as a flex committee is what I would call it, the IHSA would, you know, institute that committee the same way that they do currently with all their other committees. How they select it, they would be made up of, you know, principals and athletic directors. We had put in the proposal that it's important, we feel like, to have at least 3-4, we don't know the number, members of the media that would be part of this committee, because honestly, there's nobody that works harder than guys such as yourself and other members of the media that we speak to. They know football as well as anyone. This is what you guys do for your life. You cover it. It means the world to you, and you have all the, you're a main player in what kids want, and they listen to you, and parents listen to you. So I feel like that's kind of how we designed this, is to have some things in play that also help this thing survive and not just be a proposal that has to stand alone and solely rely on the IHSA to schedule.
And the IHSA is a great organization. They have kids at heart. They do a great job, but let's be honest, you know, there are some things where people don't trust the IHSA 100%. So to create this system and this flex regional model and then just push it off to the IHSA and say, here, do it. You know, I'm sure there's some schools out there who say, hey, you know, is it going to actually look like what you're proposing? So that's why we put that regional grouping in there, that committee, because we also feel like nobody knows your region better than the people who live in that region. And that includes media, coaches, athletic directors, you know, that sort of thing. So that was important also to put in there, that this isn't just going to be one person making these decisions at an IHSA office. It's going to be the people on the ground, the people in the area who are going to ensure that those regions are what they should be.
Well, and something I've spoken about with people a lot about this proposal, and I think, you know, like a lot of people, there are certain parts of it that I like personally, and maybe certain parts that maybe I'm not as supportive of, but I think the transparency that you two and everyone who's worked on this have put together with this, I think is maybe the best part, where like you're talking about with me here, and you've been on with some other people in the media as well, just speaking about the proposal, answering questions that maybe people have, trying to address, you know, some concerns. And as both of you have talked about, you know, no proposal, I think, is going to be perfect, one size fits all, with as diverse as the schools are around the state of Illinois. But with this, you get the conversation going, and we talked about the regions there. And can you speak more about kind of how you're going to put those together? I believe I've read that part of this proposal includes, before the vote, I think in the next week or two, you're going to put out the basically kind of mock or proposed regions, what they would look like to start. And also it's a process where it looks like every 2 years, it's a cycle where you could see some shifting again. If this were to be adopted, this is how it would work. So can you begin by speaking about maybe the process of how you split teams into the regions, and then just how maybe that could possibly change on a 2-year cycle?
Yeah, so our goal is to have 1A, Class 1A and 2A released to the public on Wednesday or Thursday of this week. We're going to do them in twos. We feel like it's important to roll these things out, not all at once, but instead in, you know, maybe 1A, 2A this week, and maybe next week we'll do a few classes. We're kind of up against a time frame now, because we want to get the mock-ups out to the membership ahead of the legislative commission meeting. And I believe they meet November the 6th. I know it's the first day of basketball practice because I'm the basketball coach, and that's typically when we have our meetings, and I was on that committee for the last few years. And so that's our goal, is to be transparent, and that way people can see what their regional would look like. I think the trap, you know, and why people don't typically do this is because that's going to come with criticism, you know. And I want to be crystal clear about one thing. Roxana High School is not building these regionals on their own. There are some really important people, not just coaches and ADs, but people that we're tapping into that have a great understanding of high school football that we're utilizing to get this as right as we can. And really, it's not, there's not a whole lot of, I mean, use the word flexibility, but like it is not as rigid. There is some rules that we have to follow when it comes to, when you're thinking about enrollment, geography, the flex classification tool that we are using to guide us. So with those things in play, it's a lot of cases when we bring this committee back together after this passes as a bylaw and it's adopted, when we have the official assigned IHSA committee, most of the times these regionals are going to hold up because we're just not making them up. And we're not using bias. That's what we're trying to remove from the process.
Well, another question I have about the regions and the classifications is, when you look now at how the postseason is done at the IHSA level, of the 256 qualifiers, you take basically, you know, the 32 smallest schools, they're 1A, then the next 32 smallest are 2A, and you don't know, you know, which school is going to be in which classification until the day of the playoffs, right, when you have the 256 qualifiers. So with this, the mathematics or maybe the equation to figure out, you know, which teams slide into a 1A region, which teams slide into a 2A region, and so on up the ladder, how will that process work?
Well, this tool is only utilized for regular season only. Postseason is unchanged. The way the IHSA currently does things with how they seed and where everybody lands in their classification, that process remains the same untouched. We're only addressing the regular season. I think that the question you asked earlier is really important about eight-man football. You know, every 2 years when you do evaluate regions, there are going to be teams either A, how many come back into 11-man, and we will have some that will exit and go to 8-man. But I think with this model and the flexibility that you have within it to bounce people in and out and geographically to move some pieces around, I think it's a different process. Let me just say that, because I had to educate myself on the grouping of eight, the last proposal that we had, especially with 1A. When you try to build a mock-up with eight teams in a class without any flexibility, it's almost impossible to run a district model. With this model here, I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's the closest thing that we have to being fair. It's the closest thing we have to really remove the bias side of things out of it and really reduce travel for schools. When I think about some of the regionals that, you know, obviously 1A becomes a little bit more of a challenge than some of the other classes, but even with 1A, and looking at 2A, you know, you're going to reunite some schools that have not had an opportunity to play football for a long time for a lot of different reasons, conferences, you know, realignment or trying to avoid each other to make sure that they reach five wins for the playoffs. I think you're going to see some crowds in some of these regions, something that we lack sometimes. You know, there are times even in the current conference that we're in, the Cahokia, and then even our former conference with the South Central Conference, that teams are having to drive, you know, parents are having to drive an hour and a half, you know, 2 hours to watch their kids play. And they're not playing in a big arena with a great atmosphere. And I think that this proposal, once people really take time to look at it and digest it and just say, hey, this is not perfect, but, you know, I use the analogy already three times a day. You know, before you can walk, you got to crawl, you know, and I think that this is the first step in that. I think it's the first step in potentially addressing some of the issues that football faces right now. You know, if there was not an issue, then the ad hoc would not have been born. You know, the ad hoc committee was born because the IHSA had realized that membership had questions and they wanted the ad hoc to review and look at what changes could be brought to membership. And we spent, you know, your podcast here may not have enough time, but just in brief, like we did meet with Ad Hoc. We had two meetings with them that the IHSA had set up. We had at that time pitched our 8-week season. We had tried to work with them. We were not dead set on our name being on the proposal. We would actually prefer, you know, a committee assigned by the IHSA to take some of our proposal and apply it and put their name on it, and we'll just sponsor it. And that's been our goal all along, is like, we want to bring something to membership that is built for the membership the best that we can. Like you mentioned, and we've talked about twice now, there's no proposal that's perfect. It's not going to hit all the sweet spots. But if Ad Hoc would have taken this thing and even just taken the flex bands, the tool, and pushed that, you know, there would have been some give and take for us, I feel like. But at this point, there's no Ad Hoc. They're not involved. It's Roxana's proposal. It's Monticello. It's status quo. And that's kind of what we're looking to work around.
You may ask, or we're planning to ask a similar question, but, you know, why are we here, or why do we think we're here? Why does Roxana think we're here? And, you know, the answer to that, why we worked on this, and as Mark said, we were happy to not carry the ball on this one. We would be happy to co-sponsor or whatever. But, you know, in conversations with others throughout the state, you know, there are pockets where things are struggling a little bit. And, you know, the drive for five of, you know, we have to find a way to get five wins so that we can make it to the playoffs. You know, that's created a lot of scheduling concerns in non-conference. It's created a lot of conference instability. And, you know, I do feel like we're at an inflection point, you know, where there's a lot of these pockets throughout the state that have struggled with scheduling or conference instability and those sorts of things. And, you know, you don't have to take my word for it, but the IHSA doesn't put together an ad hoc committee to possibly create a football proposal if the IHSA isn't hearing concerns from membership throughout the state. And so that's what they did. Unfortunately, the ad hoc committee did not come out with a proposal. I think that just goes to show you the difficulty, as you've mentioned, you know, of things throughout the state. There is no one size fits all, but you know, it is that conference instability, the scheduling concerns, and the drive for five that led us to become involved in this process.
Well, something that is interesting too that I wanted to bring up is on, you know, the one document you have that basically lists the proposal. It also has a list of individual school support and maybe what you could even call sponsors or co-sponsors of this proposal. And it's a really wide variety of types of schools. There are, you know, big private schools, small private schools, big public schools, small public schools, all with really varying degrees of traditional success, which I find interesting. Whereas you said, this is something that I think around the state, there is a debate, you know, one way or the other on how we should do things. So I want to give you the chance to speak a little bit about this process of being able to find some of these other schools who are helping, you know, maybe promote this thing or support it or sponsor it with you. Because like I said, I think the thing that maybe is most interesting about it is it's such a wide variety of types of high schools that are kind of on board with this thing with you.
Yeah. So what we did was, you know, before we launched the proposal itself, once we buttoned it up on that Tuesday prior to having to submit on Wednesday by the close of the day, I sent a survey out to every school in the state and asked if they would be willing to sponsor and sign on this proposal. And that's where we came up with the schools. We had no conversations with them. It took maybe 12 hours to come up with that list. I think we're up to 32 today. And when you think about this proposal, I think that you can agree with this, and maybe it's something worth talking about more, is there a silent majority that exists? You know, anyone that signs on to this proposal that is a member of a conference, you know, there's two ways to look at it. First way is, you know, that school's not happy with their conference, and maybe they're the next one to leave. Or another way of looking at it is, hey, this model is for football only, and this solves football. And our conference maybe feels as though this is the solution to keep our conference intact, to keep it healthy. So, like, that's the interesting part that Roxana is interested in, is how many schools are really out there that are scared to come out on record because it could be perceived in a negative light. I mean, that's the part that is difficult, is when we have conversations, and I will tell you this, like, we're just not going off those 32 schools. I've got 30 other schools that said initially, before we officially proposed, that they would be willing to sign their name on this proposal. But when it gets real and the principal has to actually sponsor the proposal that has changed. And I understand and respect that, but that's what's happening here. Is there's some schools out there that are looking at this model and saying, you know what, maybe, just maybe, this is the answer to provide more stability to our conference. And maybe it makes, maybe there's some realignment that happens for a couple years if this proposal is put in place, that when conferences realign to make things better for the rest of their sports, some that maybe become imbalanced, you know, with the competitive side of things. So that's what we're, our goal and hope is through the process.
Well, as we've talked about, I think that the biggest part of this conversation is the postseason aspect of it. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But you've talked a lot about the feedback you've been able to get. We were speaking there about some of the schools who have come out publicly in favor of this and have even put their name on it and stamped it basically along with you on some of the documents you have out there. But as the conversation on this thing has picked up steam over the past week or so, really, it feels like it's grown exponentially. Eventually, in that time, what maybe are some of the biggest concerns or maybe feedback negative against this proposal that you've heard from schools, if you've had any of those conversations yet?
I think it centers around, you know, the two things that we've kind of talked about already. And that is, you know, if you're in a conference that's very stable and you really like your conference and it works really, really well, then people want the IHSA and everybody else to stay out of it. And they want to be able to schedule and have that freedom. You know, and then there's at least an equal amount of schools who I think feel the opposite. And then there's the playoff expansion discussion. You know, how much is too much? How much is, you know, is appropriate? Is any of it appropriate? But I think those are the two big things. It's, you know, we want to be able to form our own conference. We want to have complete autonomy when it comes to our schedule. And then, you know, we want the playoffs to mean something and that you really have to earn it. I think those are the two biggest negatives that we've seen.
So for me, at least, this is just me speaking personally as Ty Taylor, I like the current playoff format. Now, the only thing I don't like about it is the seeding. I've always been someone who loved 1 through 32 and would love to see them go back to that. So with this proposal, it's kind of the same thing where in 1A through 6A, you keep the north-south split. And you see them, what, 1 through 24 and 1 through 24, 48 teams were to get in. So was there any conversation about going back to maybe trying to seed it 1 through 48? Or how did that conversation go, if it was something you even discussed?
There was. You know, I think Mark mentioned this earlier about gradual and steps. You know, one of the cores of what we're trying to accomplish is to do things based on geography and enrollment and to decrease some of that travel. So if we were to then flip it and say we also want to change the way that playoffs go and seed 1 through 32, it would kind of run counter to that, you know, and might hurt our opportunity to get this proposal passed. But it's also one of those things of we really wanted to be able to put as few things as possible to try to address the situations that we wanted to address. And the more that you put into it, the more difficult it is for a school to support the entire proposal. So, you know, between, you know, the three of us talking and all of your listeners, like, I support that. I think that's a great idea, but we didn't feel comfortable adding that into our proposal because we don't really know how others feel about that. We didn't have the survey data, and it does kind of run counter to what the core of that proposal was.
And Ty, I have a question for you. I mean, if this proposal is passed, and it's a bylaw and it kicks in next year and it plays out for a couple years, would you agree that if we had regionals that were based off enrollment and geography, potentially agree that with the travel being buttoned up, schools are not traveling 3-4 hours away to play games, would maybe rolling out down the road and adding maybe back 1 through 32 to see, would that become easier, an easier sell for schools, opposed to right now where I think one of the biggest complaints is they're already traveling all year long, all over the place in some cases, and some conferences to play games. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe this model goes in play and then down the road we evaluate going back 1 through whatever, you know, because we are, again, looking at, do we let 48 teams in? Do we let 40 in? Because we can adjust our proposal. We have all the way up until actually the second commission meeting to make changes. And that's what we're surveying right now is to collect information is like, where do people stand? Do they want 48? Do they want 40? And then how many people don't want any playoff expansion at all? And can this proposal survive on its own being regionalized? I guess those are the questions that we're seeking to get some clarity on.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to ask you about too. And I agree with you that I think maybe that could help if teams aren't traveling as much in the regular season to maybe eventually roll out getting the full, you know, 1 through 32, 1 through 40, 1 through 48, whatever it ends up being,
right,
bracket back. And two, I think that's one of the things that I think is frustrating. And I'm on this proposal. I really like the flexed regional scheduling I do. But like I said, I maybe not as on board with the playoff expansion, because the thing for me is that I think most people probably agree when it comes to conferences, it's annoying, is like this regional schedule model you have is like what conferences should be, right? Regional schools that are geographically and similar and enrollmently similar as well. And it's gotten away from that down the line. And like you said, I think part of that, and probably maybe the biggest reason for that, is because of football and trying to be able to make sure you're able to qualify for the playoffs as often as possible. So kind of going along that, and you were talking about how there's still potential to maybe change some wording in the proposal. How married to the idea are you of playoff expansion, or could you potentially see maybe these two proposals being split into two separate things? Is that a possibility, you think, as you look forward?
No, we're not interested in the proposal being split. What we're trying to do is nail down what the best proposal could be from Roxana for the membership. And, you know, if we didn't care about what membership, what they thought, we wouldn't be sending out surveys as, you know, this morning. And so that's kind of where we're at, the camp we're in now. We feel as though, again, the reason why people want playoff expansion in regionals is because there is a flavor for each end of the spectrum here. There's some that really want that and they want regionals, and some that want regionals that really don't want playoff expansion. And so as we go through the process, I think the most important thing is working with the legislative commission. You know, they're the most important piece. That's why they've been elected. They will meet again. Like I said, I think it's on November 6th, but it's early there in November, the first Monday, I believe. And that's when these conversations will begin to take a little bit different level of questioning. We're going to be present at that meeting to present this proposal. And then we plan on hitting the road and traveling around and trying to answer questions from other member schools.
You know, and one of the reasons why we do feel like the two pieces go together hand in glove is that, you know, if we're going to, or the state, however you want to say it, under our proposal, we're going to tell you what region you're in, and we're going to tell you who you are playing during those regional games. You know, there may be some circumstances where some regions, based on that geography and enrollment, are going to be a little more challenging than other regions. And so, you know, when you lose some of the autonomy to schedule all nine of your games, you know, we do want to increase that access to the playoff, just as kind of a counter to that. So, you know, schools have the flexibility to schedule some of those non-region games. But again, you know, whenever you've lost your autonomy in terms of your region, as some schools look at it that way, you know, increasing playoff access, if you end up in a pretty tough region, is something that might be important to those schools as well. But, you know, again, the what that number is of playoff expansion is definitely something that we are open to and looking forward to talking to the legislative commission and going to town halls and having those conversations, because, you know, the math plays a part and the buys play a part. You know, going back to that, I think that's really important. But you know, what that number is, I think is something that we have in our proposal, but is something that we certainly could budge on.
And then the scheduling portion of it, as we kind of circle back to that, there's a note in there where teams, and it's kind of where the flex comes from, can be flexed up a class in terms of their region or down a class in terms of their region, whether they're I think 25 largest schools or 25 smallest schools in their classification. And that basically is based on if they're geographically closer to a region that would make way more sense for them travel-wise to play in that one than maybe travel a lot further to be in their, you know, class that they're actually assigned to. So can you kind of go over that process? Is that basically how it ends up looking if that were to come to be?
I mean, you said it just about as well as you can. I mean, we have currently with 1A and 2A, as of right now today, we have a meeting tomorrow with our flex committee to finalize class 1A and 2A. But as it stands today, there are four schools in Class 2A that had to flex. And then we had in 1A, we had to flex three 2A schools into 1A. So we're trying to stay true to the intention of the model. I mean, if you use the model the way it's intended and remove the, again, the bias out of it, that's how it's worked out so far with 1A and 2A. So, you know, again, that's the intent. It's really not rocket science. It's difficult in the sense of you just got to put a lot of time into it. You know, we've spent a ton of hours working on this, and this has been at least 2 months in the making. And we will have to adjust as we go, because when you build from 1A all the way up to 8, you know, you get a sense of what schools are, again, when you build 1A, okay, now I got 2A, and what schools can I flex? So that's how we're building the regionals.
And the goal is to flex as little as possible. You know, it's there to make and to help balance that geography and enrollment, especially at some of those classifications that it's a lot more challenging, 1A and 8A. And then there's some pockets within the other classifications that, you know, maybe don't make sense, but are difficult to group together without the flexing. But again, the flex is designed to help make it make sense for geography and enrollment and to decrease travel. We're not looking to, and I don't think any committee would be looking to, flex schools all over the place and get them in a situation where their geography and enrollment doesn't make sense.
So I guess that part of the proposal, is there been any feedback or concern maybe about schools not wanting to be flexed up a classification? Like you said, it's a really small percentage that could even be, you know, eligible to have that happen to them. But has that been anything you've heard back from in terms of feedback?
Well, of course. I mean, but the thing is, at this point, they've not seen the regionals yet. I think those discussions will begin, you know, on Wednesday or Thursday. Until the models come out and we release, the mock-ups come out, we release those. At this point, I mean, we all hear the conversation with private schools. You know, there are concerns about a private school that a conference is, you know, band together and says, we will not allow them to be part of our conference, even though they're like 2 minutes down the road. You know, those kinds of things, when you have some private schools playing in a regional, I think that will stir that conversation up.
Yeah, and kind of going off of the private school aspect of it, I think something that is interesting about this, as we talked about earlier, it's a two-year cycle for the regions, basically, in this proposal. And as we know, the IHSA this past school year switched to a one-year enrollment cycle for everything, but for private schools with a success factor is kind of where that was the catalyst from, was the IHSA football state finals last year, where there was all the private school success, most of it coming from schools who were playing without the multiplier. So with this proposal, let's say, for example, hypothetically, if it passes and there's a school in Class 2A that's a non-boundary private school that begins the two-year cycle in the regions without the multiplier, they then have a lot of playoff success. Let's say in this example, they win a state championship. So then the next school year, they would be, I assume, bumped up to the classification that the multiplier would take them to. But then in the region, they would stay in the Class 2A, for example. But as you said earlier, it's the region is not necessarily where the team will fit into in the playoffs, right? So can you explain how that would happen if a school starts without the multiplier and then the next year they are granted it, how that would work with the scheduling?
Yeah, so the reason why they would stay is because for stability. I mean, when we build regionals every 2 years and evaluate them, that's going to have to be that's going to be necessary. Now, when it comes to, there is a policy that IHSA has that's every year when it comes to the non-boundary schools. We had mentioned in our proposal that that's going to have to be reevaluated for every two-year cycle. One thing that I don't think we've talked about up to this point is with the flex classification. Currently, as it stands, if this was to kick in today in the way that we have the bands and applied the cutoffs, non-boundary schools and multiplier that's been applied to those schools, it applies to those schools throughout the regular season in this model. Whereas currently the multiplier right now is applied postseason only. So that's kind of a big difference, a question that we've not received yet for membership. I think it's worth talking about. So in the case of Althoff, where their current multiplier, they've been placed in our flex classification with that multiplier. So that's how it will be applied in regular season when we build the regionals.
Well, and we've talked a lot about transparency with this proposal and how important it is, you know, for you guys to be out in front of whether people are in support or not in support of it, just to be able to have the conversation. So I guess how important was it for you to have these regions or regionals be available for people to see before there's a vote on it? Because I know, I think one of the biggest complaints that there was with some of the previous proposals similar to this were that, you know, there weren't the districts at that time weren't public for people to see where they would be. So you have to kind of guess and pick and choose to see, okay, is this going to actually be beneficial for us or not? So how important was it for you to be able to have this out there for people to see, you know, before they have to vote on it?
I'm going to briefly answer that. It's extremely important to me. And it's important to our committee also. I think that's, you know, not that those people did things wrong in prior proposals that have been submitted. We just know that, you know, before we stepped out here on the ledge, you know, we had discussed even with, you know, the IHSA, if this proposal has no merit and we don't get good feedback, we will withdraw our proposal. But we've had great feedback, you know, not great feedback like, hey, this thing's going to go. We know how challenging it is to change traditions, especially football. It's the strongest tradition really Illinois has in the state. It's important to everybody, but for Roxana, for this thing to really have legs and walk, it's really important that we share what the mock-ups would look like as of today, you know, when we release, with the expectation that people would know also that it's not just Roxana High School. You know, there is a process, there is a fair process that comes into play, but we have got to be able to go out in front and demonstrate that the fear for us that doesn't exist. I mean, we're going to give this our best shot to let people look at it and evaluate it. And like, you know, some people will walk away from it and they'll say, I don't like this at all. And some people might be gravitate towards it because maybe they see like this functions a little bit differently than what I'm used to in the past. So that's my take on it. I don't know how Adam feels.
I absolutely critical to have this out, you know, for a couple of reasons. Number one, the transparency has been our number one goal of all of this. We want people to know what they're voting for, you know, and if you like it, you vote for it. And if you don't like it, vote against it. You know, so having the regions out there for people to see is absolutely critical. You know, in some prior proposals, you didn't know where you would be and you didn't know the methodology of how you were going to be grouped into a district. And, you know, how can you vote for something when you don't know what it is? You know, I would never recommend that. So we wanted to make sure that people had all the information. You know, I know you've read through all the documents that we've put out. You know, we want to have answers or at least try to have answers for every possible thing out there. And I can tell you that the number one question that we got in any Zoom meeting that we had initially, or even as we've continued to go, the number one question is, will we see regions before we vote? So that was our goal always, but that was reiterated when talking to other schools and things that everybody wants to see that. So that's fair. That's right. That's the way it should be. And so we're looking forward to releasing those over the next couple of weeks so that each class has a chance for people to really digest it and see those things.
Well, we're nearing an hour of conversation on this with Mark Briggs and Adam Miller, so I want to start to wind down. I don't want to take too much of their time. I've probably already taken too much of it, but I suppose, you know, the million-dollar question now, and maybe you don't have a good answer for this at this juncture at where we're at right now, but, I mean, what do you think the likelihood is that this is going to pass?
It's hard to put a number on it. You know, we go back and forth daily. It's not about, you know, where we are today. It's where we will be potentially in a couple weeks, you know, up to December even. Like that's where we'll have a better feel. I mean, when you think about past proposals, people start learning about proposals today, really, in this area, because we had a meeting earlier this morning with the IADA athletic directors in our district. And this is the first that many have heard about proposals. So we've got out in front intentionally, not because we wanted to be the first ones, but one thing that we've learned in past proposals is that people don't put enough out there and they're not transparent. So, you know, I would love to put a number on that. I know how difficult it is to make for change. People do not like change, but I also know that people are hungry for something right now. I think they are. Whether or not they embrace it and they think it's the right change, I think they're hungry. And what I mean by that, what drives that, my thinking is, you know, like Adam mentioned, ad hoc has been surveying schools. There's been so much conversation throughout the state waiting for what is ad hoc going to bring to membership. And since there's nothing coming from ad hoc, I think this is the time. You know, maybe this is not the proposal that changes things. I do think that the Monticello proposal, if it's something that passes, I think it's a Band-Aid to the problem. I do. You expand playoffs, have the 9-week season. You're not going to regionalize. Even though you're expanding, you're still going to have teams chasing wins, positioning themselves. I think that's inevitable. I don't even know if our model avoids that entirely. But with it being out in front of people, and maybe people have time again to talk more about it through your viewership, your listeners, maybe we'll be able to get out in front and have a better chance.
Yeah, so, I mean, what do you see as maybe the biggest hurdle to get this thing over the hump and get it passed? We spoke earlier about it. It feels like a lot of the conversation is centered around the playoff expansion. Do you think that maybe is the biggest hurdle to get this thing passed?
I think the biggest hurdle is just making sure that everyone understands the complexity of the proposal and what it would do. You know, we had our meeting today and, you know, and in our conversation with you, but at the Athletic Directors Association meeting, you know, there was a question about something that is in the proposal, but the person wasn't aware of. So I think the biggest hurdle is just making sure, and we appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and to get this out to so many people, is just making sure that people understand what the proposal is. I think that's the number one and the complexities of it. And then number two, you know, I think it just depends on, you know, they say all politics is local for a reason, and it's true. And I think that every school is going to have their own reasons for why they support or why they don't. For some, it's going to be, hey, we make the playoffs almost every year as it is. We think it's something that we earn every year and it shouldn't be a birthright. So we're against playoff expansion. And then I think you're going to have some other schools in Illinois who say, we really love our conference. It's incredibly stable. It's good for all sports. And so we're not against losing that autonomy. So I think for each school, it's going to be different. You know, if you said what's number one, I think it's just making sure that people understand what the proposal is. And then the second piece, I think I would probably rank the playoff expansion as something that I know people will have some questions with and some trouble with.
And then just the last question I have for you before we wrap up, and this maybe isn't specific to your proposal, but just generally speaking with the landscape of IHSA football, I mean, we've seen proposals similar to this one in waves over the past couple of years. And then this one, I think, takes it to a different level. But even let's say if this were to get voted down, I mean, is this something where you think districts or regions, is there going to be something, some type of proposal for this, like every year until it passes, you think? Because it just seems like an issue that is just reoccurring and something that people talk about year in and year out, the scheduling challenges and all that comes along with that. So, I mean, from your end, does this feel like something that is just going to be a conversation forever until it eventually gets implemented?
I do. I believe it's going to come up every year. And that's why I mentioned the Band-Aid. You know, we can vote something in that just temporarily fixes it. Maybe we stay where we're at and we still have the same conversations, but it's going to come back up. I firmly believe that. And I don't know what it looks like. You know, we're trying to stay, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to honor. And I think the biggest window is, you know, the amount of days of practice before you can play your first game. And right now, again, the SMAC, the bylaw that's been implemented by the IHSA, you have to have enough practices to be able to play your first game. So I think within the window of time, I think this proposal addresses a lot of things. Maybe we're trying to address too many things, but that's not our intent. We feel like the things that we're trying to address are fixes for the system. And I think it's, again, things that you and I both can agree on. Once you get a system in place that works, it's something that you can only enhance down the road, but you have to get it in place first and give it a shot. And that's why we're shooting for that 2026 window. You know, I mean, it's going to take place next year. And there's been some questions like, why not wait? The last time a proposal was put into play and it was voted in districts, the following year, there was a proposal to take it out. And so, again, that creates instability. You know, if you vote a proposal in and you give it a year in a member school, because every member school can submit a proposal each and every year, and they come in and they pull that back away, and ADs are making schedules, and now here they go, their schedules now become messy because everybody's trying to get ahead of things. And we realize there's a quick turnaround time, but that's our intent. It's not to come in and say, hey, we're going to pull this over the eyes of everybody as quick as we can, get this in play. That way, you know, our intent is to be able to put something in play that's got some stability. Something that's going to help schools know where they're at the following year.
Well, did we cover it all? I mean, probably not, but we've spoken for over an hour with Mark Briggs and Adam Miller at Roxana. I really appreciate, as I said off the top of the conversation, the audience they give us speaking about the proposal they've submitted. It's garnered a lot of conversation. I think really important for people to get to hear from the people kind of at the forefront of this thing. So I'm really appreciative of the time and thankful that you guys reached out to come on with us here on WRMJ. Thanks a lot. I mean, anything else you want to make sure you mention before we wrap up?
No, thank you so much for this. You know, as regions come out, I think people can look forward to seeing the first regions of 1A, 2A later this week. And, you know, we'd be happy to come on and talk about those or anything else as the proposal evolves and as more people have questions. So we appreciate your coverage and the opportunity to talk directly to the people.
I echo what Adam said too. I appreciate you taking time to give us an opportunity to try to maybe clarify and help people out as they go through some of the material that we have online and what we've sent to some of our member schools. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. And we'll continue to cover this on WRMJ, of course, as it progresses through the process. I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.